is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Our weekly in-depth look at COVID-19 related topics. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer back with us again. And Dr. Bob, I want to start off with the booster questions, because a lot of that is coming up in recent days. Kind of go over some of the information that came out from the Western States Scientific Research Group.
Right. So this has been a process which we've been talking about for several months now. What booster doses are doses that you get after your initial series. And booster doses are typical of almost every vaccine. So for tetanus, we get our initial series when we're a kid and then get boosters every 10 years. For hepatitis B, you get two initial and then a booster at 6 months. So the idea of boosters is a long-held idea with vaccines. And so over the last few months, we've looked and shows that although protection stays pretty good, it does start to wane after several months. And so the recommendation has been for a booster. So a few weeks ago, Pfizer came out with a recommendation for a booster that went all through the process. And so 6 months after your second dose of Pfizer, it was recommended you got a booster dose. For people who are 65 and above, for people who are 50 and above with underlying conditions, and for people who are 18 to 49 who felt they were at higher risk because of living situations, work situations, or underlying conditions. What happened in last week was they extended the booster recommendations for both Moderna and J&J.
And talk about why there seems to be a little tighter protocol on who should get a Moderna booster versus a J&J.
So the J&J vaccine, as you'll remember, was a single-dose vaccine, and that was its big selling point. But what we've seen is that with the single dose, the J&J is not quite as effective as two doses of Moderna or two doses of Pfizer. So this recommendation for a booster was not unreasonable. And for the J&J, the recommendation is anybody who's 18 and above, regardless of underlying conditions or work, get a booster vaccine 2 months after your first dose of J&J. And that's a totally reasonable recommendation. Also, they made a recommendation that regardless of what you got for your first doses, your booster could be any of the three approved vaccines. And so, for example, if you got one J&J in April, we would recommend that you get a booster, and you get a booster with J&J or with either of the other vaccines that are available.
Now, for Moderna, talk about the 18 to 49 guidance about occupational settings. What types of jobs does that include?
So those occupational settings might include teachers, for example, who are around kids who are unvaccinated. It might include grocery store workers, healthcare workers, or somebody who's providing care in home. So really, if you have a job that puts you in contact with the public, especially vulnerable people in the public, we would recommend that you get a booster.
What can you tell us about the concept that maybe these boosters are going to become a yearly thing?
Well, they might. Boosters certainly could become a yearly thing. What we've noticed, for example, with flu, you need a booster every year. But with other vaccines, you only need it every 10 years. So we'll look to see in the next year or so about that. But right now, we're trying to get people their first booster dose, and we have plenty of vaccine available.
It seemed like there was a lot of back and forth on whether you should mix and match. What are your thoughts there?
So I think mixing and matching makes sense. I think if you got a Moderna or a Pfizer, mixing and matching doesn't provide that much improvement. But if your first dose was a J&J, you probably do get better response with getting either a Moderna or a Pfizer as your booster.
Interesting. Now, as we look at this going on in the county, when we talk about vaccination, there was new data that came out on Friday. Talk about where we are percentage-wise and people being vaccinated against COVID-19.
So we're at about 65% of our population, 16 and above, has gotten at least one dose of vaccine. About 49% of our entire population is fully vaccinated. So we may actually hit that 50% this week, but we're still at about 49 or 50% of the whole population that's been vaccinated. Since about 85% of our population could be vaccinated, we still have a long way to go.
And flu vaccines, let's talk about that. This is the time of year you tend to hear about flu vaccines. Talk about who should get one.
So we think anybody 6 months and above should get a flu vaccine. We don't know what the flu season is going to be this year. Last year, we had a very quiet flu season because a lot of times people stayed home or wore masks. This year, we're not sure what the flu season is going to be, but we do recommend that people get a flu vaccine. And they're widely available. And they're widely available through your doctor or the pharmacies. All of them have the flu vaccine.
Now, a question that's come up a number of times recently to me, are there issues with getting your booster dose COVID shot at or near the same time that you're getting a flu shot?
You can get them both on the same time. So at our FEMA trailer last week, a lot of people got both at the same time, and that's perfectly acceptable.
So if somebody does that, ends up feeling under the weather for a day or so, is it likely then that they would have felt that way even if they would have kept them separated?
Yes.
Okay. That question was coming up a lot last week. Now, and one of the things right now is because for a lot of different organizations that are rolling through, school districts and companies that are encouraging people to get a flu vaccine, it's happening right at the same time here when the booster guidance has changed. So that is something that a lot of people have been asking about. Let's talk about the local COVID-19 cases here in the county. New numbers are out today. Where do things stand?
Well, then we're in what we call the Delta doldrums, not the fierce storm that we had in August and September when we had so many cases, but certainly not in the really good spot we were in the beginning of July. So you remember in the beginning of July, we had days 5 or 10 cases a day. Now we're averaging around 40 or 50 cases a day. So that's a lot of cases. And we're still seeing a lot of hospitalizations and sadly a lot of deaths. So over the weekend, we had 5 deaths to report.
And we'll have more up later with the new data. I'm curious for people that are in the hospital with COVID, do we see a lot of cases where people are in for a very long time before they either pass away or finally recover?
We do. Unfortunately, we have a lot of people who have been there for a very long time. So when I looked last night at our hospitalizations, we have a number of people who've been hospitalized from before. So one that was hospitalized in July, 2 that were hospitalized in August, and they're still there in the hospital now. So some very, very long lengths of stay.
Now, talk about our current case numbers tied in with the vaccination rate.
Well, it seems that almost all of our cases and almost all of our hospitalizations are in people who are not vaccinated. So when we look in a day, today it's 4 of the 35 people who are in the hospital are vaccinated. 31 of the 35 are not vaccinated. So there's a striking protection that you get from the vaccines. When we calculate it every day, it's in the 80 or 90% range of protection from getting the vaccine. So again, the very best thing you can do is to get vaccinated.
Now, what about the vaccination rate in the county compared to the case rate in the county? If you look at Douglas County, but then look at other counties with higher vaccination rates.
Well, there seems to be a pretty clear relationship. Places that have more vaccinations have fewer cases. Places that have less vaccinations have more cases. And while it varies a little bit place to place, it really does seem that places with low vaccinations are going to continue to have high rates of disease.
More when we come back. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. On tomorrow's program, Robert Wilkie will join us. We talked to him last year when he was a member of the Trump administration as the Secretary of the VA. He's now a member of the Heritage Foundation. We'll get an update on what he is doing. Former VA Secretary Robert Wilkie on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us this afternoon. We just talked about Douglas County COVID-19 cases. How are things looking around the state?
Well, throughout the state, on the western side of the Cascades, is not very much disease, but also higher vaccination rates. On the eastern part, where the vaccination rate is lower, they are having a higher rate of disease. In fact, some of those small counties out in eastern Oregon have some of the highest rates in the country.
Highest rates in the country. Now, what about other states? What are some of the hotspots right now?
Well, the hotspots now are in the Mountain West and in Alaska. So those are the places that are really struggling now. We're also starting to see some rural areas in Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont start to have a little bit of uptick in disease. But for the most part, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Boston, New York, Washington, D.C. are all really quite quiet.
And looking around the world, what nations are hit especially hard right now?
Well, right now, we're seeing especially a lot of disease in Eastern Europe and in Russia. So Eastern Europe and in Russia, which have had questionable vaccine rates, and they were vaccinated with a vaccine called the Sinovac, with the Sputnik Vax, which is the Russian vaccine. And that seems to be performing less well against the Delta variant.
Now, before we roll into some other topics, I want to go back to Friday when the Oregon Health Authority put out a modeling report projecting a decrease in daily cases and hospitalizations. It gets a little scientific in terms of the way they wrote it, but what can you extrapolate from it?
Well, I think it shows that we're clearly past our peak, and with more people getting vaccinated and more people having natural immunity, the number of people who are susceptible is going down and down. So the thought is that we would begin to have really decreased levels of disease. And so that hopefully, if we don't have another bad variant, there's nothing new that we find, that really by November and December, we could be back down to the low levels that we had before this peak.
And there was one report, and I don't remember if it was the Oregon Health Authority or another source talked about Oregon maybe hitting herd immunity by, I think it was November or December sometime.
Well, that's not what it says in the report, but just that's how the press reported it. So what herd immunity is that there are enough people immune that the disease does not spread widely in the community. And I think there's maybe some places in the country that are close to that. In New York City, where they've had both a lot of cases in the first peak and then in the second peak, and they have a lot of people vaccinated, we're seeing not very many, really a fairly low number of cases in New York, despite the fact that the Delta variant is there. So there may be places in the country already that are getting close to what we would think is herd immunity, not so in Douglas County. So although we've had a lot of cases in the past, we know about 12,000 cases. We think there are probably another 12 or 13,000 people that we don't know about. With about half of our population being vaccinated, that's 52, that still leaves 20 or 30,000 people in the county who have neither vaccine nor have had the disease and leaves them vulnerable. That is far too many to come anywhere near to herd immunity. So the way to get this community immunity or herd immunity is to either have more people get the disease, which would be really tragic, or to get more people vaccinated. So we're hoping that now that the vaccines are out and the boosters are out and things have quieted down, that people who have not yet been vaccinated go out and get vaccinated.
We have Pfizer, Moderna, J&J. Are there going to be more vaccines?
There may be. There's a new one called Novavax, which is a protein vaccine, which was made using the old methods of making a vaccine. What you do is you find one of the proteins that's in the vaccine, you make it and purify it and give that as a vaccine, and then the body makes a reaction against it. Novavax, though, has been really quite slow, as typical with old kinds of vaccines, and they've been having some trouble with packaging, so it's probably not going to be available for several months. So I think for the next ensuing months, we're likely to have Pfizer and Moderna as really our workhorses. I think J&J is going to somewhat fall out of favor because of its lower protection. So I think Pfizer and Moderna are the ones to go with.
Now, you mentioned the one from Russia. How many other nations have developed other vaccines?
Hundreds. So there are hundreds of vaccines out there, many of which haven't worked. But the big ones in the world are the ones that we know about, the three that are in the U.S. In addition, there's the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is big in Europe and has been in other places. Cuba has made a vaccine. China has made a vaccine. India has made a vaccine. And Russia has made a vaccine. All of those vaccines, however, seem to be a little less effective than the three we have here. So we're lucky to have the three best vaccines here in the U.S.
Now, let's talk about travel. People are starting to get out more. How are some of the rules, some of the guidance shifting for those who want to travel?
So travel restrictions are opening, which is great. So people are now allowed to travel, and that's certainly been great for those of us who missed travel over this last year. Many of the places for travel require people to be vaccinated and or have a negative test before they travel. So there are still some restrictions, but for people who want to travel, it's starting to open up.
And what about Europe right now?
So Europe requires both vaccination and a negative test. So I had a friend who just went to the European Union, and they had to be both vaccinated and have a negative test before they left.
Looking ahead to some of the upcoming holidays, I don't know if you classify Halloween as a holiday, but it's certainly a time when in different ways folks gather. What should families do this Halloween, and what should they not do?
So when we talk about things, we talk about things that are safer and less safe. So outdoor things are always safer. So outdoor trick-or-treating, probably a very safe activity. And I would encourage the kids who missed it last year to go ahead and do it this year. Parties, outdoor parties, again, really pretty safe. Indoor parties, a lot less safe. A crowded indoor party or a crowded indoor bar, sort of a kind of a risk. So again, outdoor activities, trick-or-treat that kids would do, parades and that kind of stuff is, I think, just perfectly acceptable to do.
What about for people that are passing out candy?
Well, if they're passing out candy, again, you don't want to gather, especially indoors, but if you're going to do it on the porch, or if people remember last year my candy shoot, something like that will be just fine.
I forgot all about that. I'll have to look that one up. Talk about Thanksgiving and Christmas thoughts that people should remember as they start to put those plans together.
Well, Thanksgiving and Christmas are way off, so it's a little hard to predict that far in the future. But Christmas and Thanksgiving are a little bit more problematic, typically because people tend to travel, and then because they tend to gather indoors. So while we think of Halloween as an outdoor event, we think of Thanksgiving as an indoor event around the table, and that does certainly give some risk. The risk can be tremendously decreased by being vaccinated. If you're a little sick on the day of Thanksgiving, stay home. You really don't need to infect grandma with your COVID. And just staying safe during that time. But again, Thanksgiving is the most mixing holiday of the year. So people in many times travel. They travel to other areas so they can really spread disease. So we're a little nervous about Thanksgiving. We did not have a big surge last year after Thanksgiving or after Christmas. So that is somewhat heartening.
Overall, on COVID-19, what are some of the new things being learned about the virus?
Well, what we're learning about the virus, I think the most interesting thing I saw this week is this brain fog that people were having after COVID. So what they did is they looked at people who had COVID, mild, moderate, and severe, and then they looked at their performance on testing 6 months after their diagnosis. And many of them, like up to 20% of the people who had COVID, still were way below what you'd expect in terms of their performance on standardized tests. So this brain fog that people report does seem to be real, and it does seem to be somewhat long-lasting. Another great reason to be vaccinated.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on Inside Douglas County today.
And thank you for joining me.
1257 News Radio, 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.